Welcome to iHeartGeek.
And welcome to a very special episode of iHeartGeek. Dub has handed over the reins to the ladies, you all, and we are covering the brand new Disney feature, Raya and the Last Dragon. I am Satomi Hoffman. Yes! And with me is the beautiful Miss Cheeky Chi. I'm so excited about this. What about you, girl?
I am so excited. It's like the dynamic duo of phenomenal Disney releases.
Yes. Yes. And of course, I originally wasn't going to cough up the $30 to watch this in Disney Premiere. And then you went nuts about it. So now, folks, we of course are going to be spoilering the heck out of this. But let's just start with, what was it about it that made you so excited and that made you convince me to watch this movie?
So for me, it was actually the soundtrack. If you remember when we did the soundtrack episode, it was one of mine. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with this soundtrack, and I just figured anything that good should absolutely be a phenomenal movie. And I listened to it before I go to sleep, and it was kind of fun because I kind of was like imagining how the actual storyline was. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I was like, I will literally give up coffee this week to be able to watch this.
So now let's talk about the soundtrack for a second. What I thought was, because the soundtrack struck me as well really quickly, because it's got those Southeastern flavors. So those of you who don't know, Raya and the Last Dragon is our first Southeast Asian Disney princess. And Disney actually created something called the South Asian Story Trust. So they sent out people to research. This team was very heavily Southeast Asian, to research culture and tradition and stories. Now, this is an original story with a beautiful screenplay. But this film starts, and as soon as you hear that music, you are transported.
Oh, yes.
And did it surprise you that this is not a musical?
It did a little bit, because so much of the music is definitely that character in the background. And mm-hmm. I was expecting more of that traditional Disney musical initially.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I was thrilled. I was thrilled that it was a little more based on actual story.
Right.
And ironically, it's also the first one without John Lasseter.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, we didn't have John Lasseter. We had a whole different production team then. And there's so much to talk about with this film. One of the things that's really incredible is the whole thing was produced over Zoom, produced virtually.
It actually took like 3 years, the whole production from start to finish.
Well, because usually it does take that long. But once you get to that point of actually animating and actually recording the voice talent and all of that good stuff, once they hit that point, mm-hmm. we were right into quarantine.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I love too is that Sean doesn't typically watch Disney movies with me. He mm-hmm. loved this. He sat down with me. He loved it. Daniel Day-Kim's in it. And he said, you know, the heart and the meat of it is more of a storyline for everyone.
Oh, yeah. Chris was the same thing. My husband, we finished it and he was like, that was really good. And I think part of it is at last we've got female characters that are complex. There really isn't the arch villain.
Yeah. And not just one female character.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, is that whole storyline, that betrayed friendship and then that renewed trust. I mean, yeah, that was just a beautiful storyline, and there was no romance.
How much did you love that? I loved that so much, because not every film, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a massive romantic. And what we've got some other episodes of some other stuff coming up where I'm going to go all out on the I love me some romance. I don't like your typical romance films, but you know, I don't mind a little bit of falling in love. But the fact that they were just women and they were just princesses, and it wasn't about being female, and it wasn't about being a princess. It was just about
telling the story.
Human,
yeah.
Telling the story. Yes. Yeah. And as you said, the voice talent was outstanding. You mentioned Daniel Day Kim, mm-hmm. who is just, I mean, dreamy. I mean, I want him to be my dad.
Right. And the animation, really, you could see it, not just in the voice, you could see hints of him. And I thought the animation was a whole new level for me. Like there's a moment where Raya hugs the dragon, and you can see all the little fine fur. Like, and I was just absolutely thrilled with that.
Oh yeah. Well, and let's talk a little bit about, also about the dragon. So, of course, we've got Daniel Day Kim as Raya's father. We've got Kelly Marie Tran, who you all know from the new Star Wars, mm-hmm. as Rose, was playing Raya. We've got Benedict Wong as this wonderful burly side character. And then, of course, you know, we've got Sandra Oh, we've got all of these amazing stars. And, of course, we've got Alan Tudyk. Who is becoming the John Ratzenberger, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh. And Tuck is just so charming.
Yes.
And you know, the journey is just amazing. Like, it's, I'm going to watch this again and again and again. This is
absolutely. So now this sweeping storyline. Help me tell this. If you're listening, you've probably already seen the film, but just to go over what this storyline is. We've got Raya, who is a, or she lives in the, what do you call it? A city, a village, the province?
The province of Heart.
Province of Heart. And we are in the fictional land of Kumatra. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Help. Some of these things I'm not going to pronounce correctly, guys. I'm working on it. And their land has been torn apart because 500 years ago, everybody was living in harmony and they had dragons. And there were these, what were they called?
The Droons?
The Droons.
The Droons, the Blahs, the Ickies. Like it's like everyday life when things go bad. And I thought they were so well portrayed, mm-hmm. and they tore everybody apart.
Yeah, turned people into stone, these clouds of dust that would turn people into stone. And the dragons came together, created a gemstone that drove the Droons away. But they sacrificed themselves to make this happen and left that one last dragon. That's Sisu, played by the incredible Awkwafina. Oh. I am a massive fan of that girl.
Yes. Absolutely.
She is so likable.
She brings Sisu to life completely. Like the actions, the way they tied it together. And, you know, how do I say, I don't want to tell the whole story because I really want people to watch it. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I'm trying to avoid it as well, but it's
But it's so hard not to talk about it because it's so good.
Let's talk first impressions when we first see Sisu.
Oh, when I initially thought, well, maybe this is like a baby dragon just learning things, mm-hmm. because it wasn't, you know, I think you come in and you're expecting this big majestic dragon.
Right.
And it was a dragon that had a very human side. Like, yes. a sense of humor. Oh my gosh, the one-liners about her. I'll slaughter in the water. you you know, it just, it's charming and it's beautiful. And she sees the world the way I want to see the world. And I think that's a part of where I really connect it.
That's like, a great way to put it. I think that's sort of what this film is. So we meet Sisu, as Raya is attempting to, so because of a betrayal, the crystal has been cracked into five pieces that have gone off into the different provinces. And we meet Sisu as Raya, is trying to recover, or she's trying to find the last dragon to try to find a way
to save her dad.
Save her dad, who has been turned to stone by the Droons. Yeah. This takes us along this journey to each of the different provinces, which are, they're named after different sections of the dragon. We've got heart, tail, fang, spine. And is there a fifth one, or was it
heart, tail, fang, spine, and my brain is stopping.
Talon. And along the way, she meets these incredible sidekicks. So I'd like to talk about one of the first ones we run into, because whoever named this character gets a gold star, Con Baby.
Yes, I love Con Baby.
Con Baby. So the fact that you've got a baby who is running a con with what the heck were those, monkeys?
They were a monkey, but yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at this tiny little thing and I'm like, Raya, help her. And then 5 minutes later, Raya, why did you help her?
Well, it's interesting how each one of these characters, each one of these sidekicks that she picks up, her experience with them ties into the theme of the film.
And they're all from, each one of them is from a different province.
Is from a different province.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the theme of the film, which is the overarching theme is about trust.
Yes.
And what's interesting is they wrote this film before we were in climate that we are now.
Yeah.
And I have seen some people really rebelling against the message of the film.
Yeah.
Because one of the things we hear over and over again is, in order to trust, someone has to take the first step. I think some of the backlash is that some people are not trustworthy. Sometimes you can misplace your trust, which I do believe is very true.
Well, and it happens to Sisu.
It happens to Sisu. It happens to
Raya. But she didn't lose her heart.
Yes. And her willingness to trust again.
Yeah.
And that I think is more, that is part of the lesson, and also the power of working together.
Yes. Yes.
And trusting each other as you work together.
I was going to say, finding those commonalities. Because the other theme for me was that everybody lost somebody important to them. And when they begin to see that, especially that heartbreaking moment where they're putting the lotus flowers on the water.
Oh my gosh.
And that's a point where I think Raya begins to change a little bit, because she sees that she's not the only one that lost somebody important, somebody that she loves.
So it's all that commonality, people finding common ground to communicate with each other and recognizing something I found that was really interesting is even the people who were initially presented as having nefarious motivations, mm-hmm. when it came down to it, the motivations were actually all about trying to make a better world, trying to do what everybody was trying to do, which is protect their loved ones, bring peace to the world. So it's also really a treatise about seeing the world, putting yourself in other people's shoes.
Yes. And that's funny because on a personal note, you know, I onboard and train all of our new managers, and I always tell them this: don't ever step into this chapter of someone's life and assume you know their entire story. And that's really what for me, that theme was. And so yesterday I taught class and I said, look, guys, give up your coffee for a week. This is a brilliant movie. Like, you've got to watch it. I have zero regrets. It's not that big a deal. I know in the scheme of things, $30 seems like it's so much money, but for me, it was such an enriching moment, and it was beautifully done. I laughed until I cried. I ugly cried, and then I happy cried. Yeah. I think the thing for me to point out is anybody that really knows me, you know, I am not an emotional person. Like, I don't watch chick flicks. I would rather watch a war movie or a Marvel comic book movie or a DC movie than I would to watch, you know, and here along comes the 13th princess, and she's everything. I had that hope with Mulan. We get to see this person as a human, not a romantic interest. And, you know, and then they paired her with the prince or the general or whatever he was at the end. And the second movie was all about the romance. And here she comes, and it's about friendship, and it's about trust, and it's about finding your power.
Yes.
And that doesn't matter if you're male or female, whatever you choose to be, it's about finding your power. And I loved that. And, you know,
it's also, I want to point out that it's not just this, you know, up with women film at all. It's actually hilariously funny.
It's so good. The
dialogue is really well written. The action is the action. So one of the screenwriters is actually a martial arts specialist.
Yes.
And he made sure that each and there's quite a bit of martial arts in this, y'all. So for you action hungry listeners, yes, there are some fantastic fight scenes, yeah, and you can actually identify each one of the styles that is being, you know, each character has their own, like Namari is Muay Thai, and
Raya is Filipino martial arts style.
Yeah, Penchak's a lot.
Yeah, Penchak's a lot.
It's,
I wasn't going to try to say that.
I mean,
you know, to the expert.
We try. I am not an expert. I am half Japanese. I am not Southeast Asian, but they are definitely, you know, they are cousins.
Yes.
And, you know, and what a time for it to come out right now. Yeah. And then we were talking about, you know, it's funny. The fight sequences are epic.
Yes.
And then the fact that they were able to animate this so stunningly. This is like, it's like game engine animation is what,
yes,
I felt like.
Yes.
It's that kind of hyper real. I mean, I feel like that's where we're going in general, because with things like Soul coming out, mm-hmm, we had that same feel where the environments, you know, at times have that animated feel because they want you to. Mm-hmm. And then at times you're like, I'm looking at a picture. I am looking at a picture, yes, of Vietnam right now.
Yes, those big sweeping scenes that are not painted backgrounds. They're living, moving things.
Right, right. Now, people have been asking if this had origins in existing literature, in existing folklore in Southeast Asia. And the answer really is yes and no. Mm-hmm. This is an entirely new world that was made up and created while honoring Southeast Asia. But I mean, there's a couple of influences. Mm-hmm. For instance, there were the Trong sisters who were in Vietnam, who were independent. They held power. They were, I believe they were also female warriors. Mm-hmm. It's very much honoring, you know, in the white world, I'm going to say it, being half white, there's a history of seeing the Asian female as demure and kind of subservient, you know, and quiet and, you know, we do that thing. And I make fun of my people all the time for that. But there's a real honoring here of the historically strong females.
Yes. There's a reason why Mulan was a real person. And people don't always realize that. I'm surprised at how many people are like, well, she's a Disney princess. And I was like, no, do some research here. She was a living, breathing human being.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, Raya was not, but she was a reflection of those culturally strong women that have been throughout Asian history. Yes. As a matter of fact, quite a few of the characters reminded me of some of the women I grew up with.
I love that.
So now go ahead.
I was going to say, she just has, especially that, so that first big opening scene, you're going to love it. It's going to break your heart. You're going to laugh. Like the moment when she's going against her dad and we don't know it's her dad yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, I told you. And she said, it sweeps down and she's like, nope, I got a toe touch. And her little toe, her big toe is on the rock. Yeah. It's that feistiness that she has that even though she's lost her trust, that feistiness never goes away. Yes. And that's like a very strong part of who she is. And that's a very strong part of most of my friends that are, you know, Southeast Asian, or even my sister who's Korean. There's that feistiness that just runs through.
Now, we follow Raya in this journey, and she's absolutely the main character. But what I actually found really fascinating was Namari's journey.
Yes.
Because when you get to that moment, so Raya and her companions have gone through all of their trials and tribulations, getting the pieces of the crystal to reassemble, and finally coming to where Namari lives, to get that last piece and extending that hand of trust only to be betrayed by Namari again.
Yes.
Who we discover is torn. She does not feel like she has a choice.
Yes.
In this matter. Because she has to protect her own.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can tell even from the very beginning, that is 1000% how she was raised. Because when she betrays Raya the first time, she's what, 10?
Yes.
She's very young. Yeah. And so that was how she was trained. And to see her come into her own and make the decision.
But what I found so fascinating is she did not just outright make the decision.
No.
All of the people around her decided to take the first step and put their trust in her. And they sacrificed themselves, trusting that she would do the right thing. And she had that moment where she wasn't going to do it. So again, we're talking about these complex, real characters. All of these characters, even Raya, have massive shades of gray.
Yes.
And how delicious is that? Because I got a chance to watch this with my friend's little girl, who's essentially my goddaughter. And she loved this film. She felt it. She even talked about, in some of the more complex moments, getting confused for a second, and then right afterwards being like, oh, the light bulbs were going off. So we're talking about not dumbing it down for kids.
Yes.
Trusting that these kids are smart enough, as they have been for centuries, y'all, to grasp complex storytelling. And then having a complex range of characters so that the adults can enjoy the ride. And not just enjoy the ride, but love it. I mean, I've watched this twice. And my first time was last night. And I finished watching it, I immediately texted you and was like, we have to do an episode on this.
Right.
So, would
and
you?
I'm over there like, it's about time.
I know. So you definitely would say that it's worth the $30.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would not want to wait 3 more months to see it. Like, It's one of those movies that I would have gone and seen in the theater, hands down. So, and it, again, for me, it was simply based. I hadn't even seen the trailer when I heard the soundtrack.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I listened to a lot of soundtracks on my Pandora and it popped up as a suggestion. Oh. And I was like, hey, and I said, sure, I'll listen to something new. And I fell in love with the soundtrack. And then I went on to my Disney Plus and I watched the preview and I was like, I need to see this.
Must. And was it, I mean, just one last question before we wrap it up. Was it, how did it fare, your expectations versus your reality? How would you compare that?
It exceeded it. I thought, like I said at the beginning, I thought I was going to get another fun Disney story. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. And it was part Disney, but it brought a whole new level, a layer of richness in the storytelling, in the way they presented the characters that I've seen it in Disney movies sometimes, but this is the first time I really saw it in Disney animation.
Awesome. Awesome. And I actually have to agree with you completely because I had seen a trailer and thought, ooh, that's going to be good. And then the Disney premiere access came up, I'm in this industry and I love to support, but you know, Disney's has, I figured Disney has enough money, I'll just wait. And then you went nuts about it, and I've got to tell you, I am so glad I pulled the trigger on that, because I feel like it was worth the $30. Yeah. If the theaters were open, I probably would have seen it more than once.
I probably would have spent way more than $30 to see
way it. More than $30, exactly, going to see this. And it was the storytelling was outstanding. The visual effects were outstanding. The score was outstanding. The voice acting was outstanding.
Yes.
The effects were outstanding. The action, the pacing. Mm-hmm. The pacing was outstanding.
The druids are terrifying.
They are terrifying.
And
they're on the shore of the banks of the river, I'm like, I'm going to stay on the boat too with the shrimp guy.
Which he was adorable.
Oh. He was adorable.
Yes.
He was adorable. But I mean, they really stepped out of their need for everything to be cute and really stepped into this very, I don't want to keep saying complex, but, and it's not even that it's adult.
It's layered.
It's layered. It's rich.
It's a parfait.
It's a parfait. Yes. It's a movie parfait, y'all. So as we always do here at iHeartGeek, we're going to grade this film. So Miss Cheeky Chi, what would you give Raya and the Last Dragon?
I'm thinking possibly an A++++.
Yeah, you know,
it's going to sound really silly, but there was one moment that I wish they would have added, because in my brain I added it. And if they had added that one tiny moment, it would have been the perfect movie for me. And that's what I told Sean. And I'll tell you what it is. And I want to know if you agree with me or not.
Okay.
So, you know, when Sisu gets with her brothers and sisters for the first again.
Ugh.
Okay. It's such a beautiful moment.
Cry, you guys, ugly cry.
And I wanted her to look at them and I wanted her to say, why did you trust me with this? And I wanted them to say, Kasisu, you were always the heart.
Oh.
See?
You know, I love that. And this is why, you know, you write, and this is why you have this wonderful imagination and you need to write your own movie. But I felt like that happened with the look from Pengu.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He gave her that little side, like, yeah, girl. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm just, I just have to go back to Awkwafina, because what a perfect face to model this dragon off of.
Yes.
Because so expressive, open, you just love her from the get-go.
Right. From the moment she wakes up. Yeah. And the fact that she has no idea how much time has passed.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. My own grade on this one, I will give it an A++. It is up there for me with Moana. It is up there for me with Finding Nemo. It is just delicious. I think it will appeal to male, female, child, adult, Asian, non-Asian. There are universal themes, and I feel like because of the way they develop the characters, we see a little bit of all of us in
yes.
all of these characters, and it's just delicious. So, well, folks, thank you so much for hanging out with
yes.
us just for a little peek at Raya and the Last Dragon. You can find us at iHeartGeek on all of this, your social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, you name it. Make sure to come and visit us on our Discord channel. We do talk back. We have these conversations. And of course, come and support us on our Patreon. We got a ton of extra content over there. We
yes.
talk all, we do deep dives into all of this stuff. And of course, if you decide to join us on Patreon, you can do like the, you know, the biscotti size. I'm just going to do a little cookie of Patreon, or you can get the full entree meal with the, you know, with the, your coffee before and your, you know, glass of wine afterwards, or you switch that. And when you do that, you may actually be able to join us on one of these shows and
yes.
chat about those things that you love. So make sure that you come check us out, come hang out with us, like, comment, share. And I am Satomi, and I am here with Miss Cheeky Chi. Keep on geeking on.
You've been listening to the latest episode of the iHeartGeek Show. Make sure you visit our website at www.iheartgeekshow.com. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you check us out on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And keep on geeking on to all of you geek rock stars.